At the end of this week's parsha, Abraham, who has been promised time and time again ownership over all the land of Canaan, owns nothing but a grave. When we read Abraham's journey carefully, this ending may not surprise us. From the very beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, Abraham's life is marked by fantastic, unbelievable promises, shortly followed by obstacles that make their fulfillment seem impossible. Told by God to leave his home behind, Abraham arrives in Canaan, where God gives him the first promise. Your children, the children who don't exist yet, will inherit this land. Abraham sacrifices to God in gratitude, and then, almost immediately, the dream turns to ashes. There is a famine in the land that God just promised Abraham's descendants. A famine so devastating that Abraham and his family, newly arrived, go to Egypt in order to survive. When Abraham finally returns to the land, disaster strikes again. Newly wealthy, Abraham and his nephew Lot, his presumptive heir, find they can no longer live together. There was quarreling between the herders of Abraham's cattle and those of Lot's cattle. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were then dwelling in the land. Rashi, noticing the verse's seemingly unconnected ending, the Canaanites and Perizzites were then dwelling in the land, suggests that there was a values clash between Abraham and Lot about how to understand who the land currently belongs to. There was quarreling because Lot's shepherds were wicked and grazed their animals in other people's fields, and Avram's rebuked them for the theft. They said, "The land is given to Avram, and he has no heir." But they said, "The land is given to Avram, and he has no heir, so Lot will inherit him. Therefore, there is no theft." But the verse says, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were then dwelling in the land, and Abraham had not yet acquired it. Knowing that God promised this land to Abraham, and that Lot is Abraham's only heir, Lot's shepherds treated the land as if it were their own. Abraham's shepherds, on the other hand, restricted their sheep. While Abraham believed in the promise, he knew that it was not yet fulfilled, and that the land was not yet his. Rashi's explanation of this disagreement between Abraham and Lot points to a fundamental difference between them, the ability, or lack of ability, to live in the space of unfulfilled promise. Lot believes entirely in God's promise, and, following that belief, treats the promise as if it must already be true. He sees God's word as binary. The promise is true, or it is not. If it is true, it must be true now. And if not, it makes sense to abandon the promise entirely, remove himself from Abraham and Abraham's God, and go somewhere else to make his fortune. Lot cannot live in the in-between. He cannot tolerate the waiting. He does not have the ability to trust in an unfulfilled promise, and so he leaves. It is this fundamental difference between Lot and Abraham that allows us to read Abraham's purchase of Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the cave where he buried Sarah, not as a moment of tragedy, but as one of faith. Ma'arat HaMachpelah is, in many ways, a symbol of what it means to live in the space of unfulfilled promises. It is the first place in Canaan that Abraham can truly lay claim to, but its very purchase acknowledges just how much of the promise is as yet unfulfilled. Abraham is not the triumphant sole possessor of the land. Unlike Lot's shepherds, who we imagine might charge in, demanding that the inhabitants give him his choice of graves, or at least accept their initial offer to do so, Abraham acts with humility, accepting reality as it is in the moment. Then Abraham bowed low before the landowning citizens and spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the landowning citizens, saying, "If only you would hear me out, let me pay the price of the land, accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there." Abraham believes in the promise of the land, but he also knows that that promise has not yet reached its culmination. In purchasing the cave where he will one day be buried with Sarah, he acknowledges both that he believes that the promise will one day be true, that his descendants will possess the land that houses the very bones of their ancestors, and that he will die without seeing that day. To Lot's shepherds, desperate for the immediate fulfillment of promises, impatient with half measures, Abraham's situation in Chaye Sarah might seem like a defeat. But there is a spiritual heroism in what Abraham does when he humbly purchases Sarah's grave. While Abraham leaves Ma'arat HaMachpelah as a physical legacy to his children, its purchase carries another legacy alongside with it. The ability to believe in the promise completely, with a full heart, while also acknowledging the reality that it is not yet complete. In refusing either to deny the promise or reality, Abraham teaches his descendants how to walk the narrow path that combines faith with a refusal to deny the reality of the world as it is, or to trample over others in our haste to bring the world that we believe one day will be. We live in a world where the gap between the world we see and the world our religion and values promise us is sometimes too much to bear. And sometimes, like Lot, it is tempting to throw up our hands in despair. If this world, after all this time, does not look anything like the world the promise demands, then maybe it is time to abandon that promise. It is equally tempting, at other times, to act as Lot did before the parting, to pretend that the world is already where it needs to be, that the promise has already been fulfilled. Both of these approaches abandon hope, one by declaring that there is no point in hoping for something better, and the other by declaring that this is the best anyone reasonably could possibly hope for. Unfulfilled promises, painful as they are at times, are what allow us to work towards the ideal. They're what allow us to admit the reality of the world as it is, with all its flaws, because they give us the belief in something better. They give us the strength to live our lives as links in a chain, knowing that while any individual link may not live to see redemption, the chain as a whole surely will.